Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 3rd of April, recording at 8:52 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. And a summery day it was indeed. Now, first the highlights on what's a surprisingly quiet day. You might, well, maybe not that surprising. You're probably relieved to have a little bit of quieter action. Asian stock markets, more gains than declines, the best of them being in Hong Kong, Japan, and also Australia in percentage terms. The European markets were down, well, they seesawed a little bit, but closed slightly lower. And Wall Street seesawed a little bit, but looks like it's going to close slightly lower. Government bonds, a quiet day. The U.S. dollar index, a tad weaker as I speak, at 72.20. And no big drama. Gold is down 55 cents at 903.80. It had been down to 890 at one stage. The industrial metals are mostly firmer. Zinc and aluminium are exceptions to that. Soft commodities, mostly a bit firmer as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of the European stock markets and also the U.S. indices, what we have seen recently are rallies back up to the higher sides of the ranges. In other words, another number of indices are looking at those February lows, which were tested in early March and found to be quite formidable. And then we had downward dynamics and markets plunged down to retest and in some instances exceed the January climactic lows, although the March sell-off was not sustained. We got the upward dynamics and then the rally back up to these levels. So what are we seeing? It's probably a little bit of a consolidation here. There is understandably some nervousness at current levels, but I don't think that there's a big risk of another test of those March lows anytime soon. Why do I feel that way? Well, we've had a fair amount of climactic selling, and we have also had some real extremes of sentiment, very bullish sentiment readings overall in terms of saying that we were looking at the market's lows. And I think also the constant developments, the Fed's been playing it just right in terms of restoring confidence. I'm not going to go into the economic rights or wrongs of the policies. That's a never-ending debate, and we know what the trade-offs are. So I'm really focused on how all this is going to affect stock markets. But they're managing expectations. The Fed is coming out on an almost daily basis, or the Treasury, and or both, with comments, just showing that they're busy, proactive, dealing with the situation, and that creates a feeling that they've got it under control. Now, this again, I say this is managing expectations in here, but that's very important in stock markets because stock markets are all about expectations. So, I again, maintain that the crisis is past its nadir. That doesn't mean that there won't be more write-downs and more surprises, but people are pretty well used to this. Their investors today are a little bit, I'll use a military analogy, they're a little bit like they start off like the green troops are thrown into to battle and are utterly traumatized by it, and then, most of them eventually become acclimatized and fairly battle-hardened, And the others are sort of permanently shell-shocked. Well, I hope none of my subscribers are permanently shell-shocked by events, but you're probably feeling a bit more battle-hardened than you were, oh, say 6 months or a year ago, and that's no bad thing. And now we're looking for opportunities, and I think the opportunities are in fuller money themes among Asian markets. I do like the Asian emerging markets most of all, and I have a little bit more copy on this today. But Hong Kong, the H share index, as well as the Hang Seng, Thailand, major beneficiary from this boom in rice. Thailand, lots of countries in the region produce rice, but some of them aren't going to be exporting it anymore. They'll hold it for domestic consumption, given the shortages and the surging prices. Thailand's a big rice exporter. So, and then Taiwan is a more conservative play. It will be moving closer to China, and economically, that's got to be good. And again, the resources themes, these really look attractive. As far as the Western markets are concerned, I really don't like the domestic sectors, as you know. I do like the multinational exporters. If one's going to invest in the Western markets, go for the multinational exporters and anything that's involved. Well, that would include some of the resources plays that exist in those countries. And also, that would be everything you say, from resources to tech, the tech being the somewhat more speculative. Also, high yield. This is a good time for conservative investors who want high yield funds. If you're dealing in the markets directly, I think the bank indices are putting in lows. I've said all along that I felt that it would be a lengthy convalescence. And I don't think, therefore, I don't think one needs to pay up for any of those, but they are interesting. Now, it sounds like somebody's cutting down a rainforest in my left ear, or in both ears, actually. Some office refurbishment going on nearby. I hope that sound isn't coming across into the audio. It's distracting me a little bit, but not enough to take my mind off this interesting subject. Wall Street, incidentally, looks like it's closed out with a modest gain here, 20 up in the 21 up on the Dow in the late runoff here. Modest gains in the Nasdaq and S&P 500. Now, overall, as far as equities are concerned, I feel that we're at that stage where fear is ebbing, the rewards of shorting are, well, much more difficult now to come by, although that won't stop the attempts. So we'll get some two-way choppy activity, more ranging. But the bargain hunters are putting the metaphorical toe in the water a little bit more often. And confidence is slowly returning. That's a very good thing. And as I've said before, valuations are better than we've seen for a number of years for most markets. And I think that we will see just a gradual improvement. We'll probably get more ranging than trending in this quarter, but that things will be picking up based on known factors here at any rate. Okay. What else is going on in these markets? Bonds will be vulnerable when confidence has clearly returned to stock markets and we see irrefutable evidence of upward trends for most equity indices, characterized by higher highs and higher lows. Now, in the currency department, again, I think the dollar's upside is really limited to technical rallies, some periodic short covering. We'll get a lot of ranging. I think it's probably unlikely that we will see the dollar moving significantly higher, and I don't see it moving significantly lower, or not anytime soon, but it is still in a secular bear market overall. So, aside from the periodic bouts of short covering, I think the path of least resistance is still likely to be downwards. My slight hesitation in that, and you will have noticed that there are a number of dollar bulls around. That's been the case for quite a few months, and they're talking about purchasing power parity, which I've always felt was a lousy indicator in terms of what currencies are going to do. And I think people would like the dollar to rally a bit more, but with these interest rates, with the money printing that's taking place, with the US economy being comparatively weak, no chance of an increase in US interest rates. I don't think we're in an environment where we can see much in the way of upside, as I say, beyond that periodic short covering. Precious metals and commodities are all consolidating gains in here. A few of them remain quite strong. I don't think we're going to see huge blowouts in any of the foods, and the precious metals, there's a chance, because they didn't get all that overextended. I have to be careful here. I was going to say, because they didn't get all that overextended, and I thought, well, platinum certainly did. But I'll finish what I was going to say, that perhaps they don't come back down as much, for instance, as we saw in 2006. I think it's a good possibility that they will hold up better this time around, and that would be good for the gold shares overall. It would probably mean not it would, an absence of fill your boots opportunities in the futures, which would have a tighter consolidation and not go to the bargain levels that we saw, say, following that peak in April or May, whenever it was, 2000 and 2006. I think the industrial metals are the lagging industrial metals, I think, are undervalued, and they're reflecting, they may stay that way though for a while, because they're reflecting a certain lack of interest due to the focus on slower GDP growth, question marks over China's growth. These are temporary concerns, and one needs to bear in mind that big theme, which is this remorseless increase in demand for these metals, overall. That will be the case far more often than not for most years, for quite a while, could easily be another 2 decades, and that's again a very, very important theme, that global infrastructure demand. These commodities are also fairly cyclical. Most of them are thinly traded. There's been a lot of speculative activity as well. The producers and consumers participate in that speculative activity, so we have to expect big swings in prices, and that's why we really want a chart-based approach overall, and keep an eye on the inventories, LME and other and COMEX inventories, very important. What else to mention? I talked about crude oil in terms of this lateral support near the $100 level. It bounced quite well from that yesterday. Crude's down a bit today, but only 50 cents. Natural gas is being clipped in here, down 444 ticks. That brings it down to 938 on the April contract overall. But I did say, and we'll repeat, that if we see crude oil, and I'm thinking now the light sweet Texas, if we see that close below the $100 level for 2 or 3 days, or if it breaks below it on a dynamic, that will would certainly open the door to some additional sell-off. In terms of preoccupations, the sharp rise in commodities is over for a while. I think that's that is the main story here. Doesn't mean you're going to see lower prices in the shops or at the petrol pump, but it's removed some anxiety as far as investors in stock markets were concerned. In other words, they don't have to worry quite so much about the accelerating inflationary pressures as they may have done in terms of extrapolations quite recently. And I think that's pretty much it. Hamish and I will, of course, be here tomorrow, and I'll be doing the big picture long-term outlook. But that will be my last day for a week. I do have to take a week off due to some pressing family matters. But Owen will be back from his paternity leave and no doubt rearing to get stuck in on all these exciting markets once again. So, for another day, it's time for me to say all the best to all of you.